So let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word. God, how life-changing your truth is to us. God, give us all ears to hear and receive the wisdom that you have given us through the writings of the Apostle Paul, Lord. I thank you in advance for the seed that will be planted in each and every one of us today. And Lord, may none of us walk out of here the same way we walked in, but let us be stronger, our faith be bigger, and let us have more peace in knowing that you are absolutely in control and faithful, and you love us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we're in Ephesians chapter 3. And what a... I mean, all scripture seems to change my life. And I just want to say, I just thank you guys for allowing me to do this. Because it is so great to dive so deep into scripture every week. Obviously, I want to study so I can present it in an understandable way to you. But I see the value in my own life by getting to dig so deep into scripture week after week, and we'll do it book after book, you know, line by line together. Amen. So we're in chapter 3 of the Ephesians epistle, written by Paul the Apostle in AD 60. Paul's been incarcerated for 5 years at the time of this letter. He's chained to a Roman guard on house arrest in Rome. Outside looking in, one would think that this was a bleak situation for Paul. But by the grace of God and the power of his Spirit in which he works all things for good, Paul gives us the theology of the church with excitement and passion. Paul knew his purpose. He was a prisoner of Jesus Christ, not Rome. Paul shows us that obedience to God in all circumstances prospers. It is more than just the individual prospering in faith and the things of God, but how much it affects others who are touched by that faith and obedience. God is working in and through our circumstances because we are his beloved. We Gentiles have been brought near to God by the blood of Jesus Christ. And now there is no difference between Jew and Gentile who call Christ Lord. All who have faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross shall be saved. Faith that Christ died in the sinner's place, that he took the punishment for sin by being a substitute for the sinner. But because no sin was found in him, he rose from the dead, conquering sin, death, and hell while redeeming his church. Faith that he is alive and at the right hand of the Father. Salvation is by grace through faith in Christ. We are in Christ and we are free. So in verse 1 of chapter 3, Paul is about to pray. He says, I, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. But before he prays, he goes over this mystery of the church once more. He's about to say, I, Paul, bow my knee before the Lord. He's about to pray, but he stops himself and he goes into what scholars call a parenthesis. And so last week we began that parenthesis, and the parenthesis lasts from verse 2 to verse 13. But we'll pick it up today in verse 7 because we went over some of it yesterday, and I'll recap a little bit. But we'll go through the parentheses, and because I want to get to the prayer. I want to get to the prayer at the end. It's powerful. So let's start in verse 7. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace, given me through the working of his power, Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. So first thing I want us to notice is that Paul calls himself a servant. That is the highest ranking any of us can be honored to be in his family, is a servant. We're all different parts of the body. We're all servants of Christ in different ways, and none is greater than the other, but we are equally important, and we all make up this beautiful bride called the church, which is the body of Christ. We are the hands and feet of him. And you notice that he says, you know, I'm the least of all the Lord's people. You got to remember, Paul was he was persecuting this church. He watched Stephen get murdered, and he spent his life bringing havoc to those who called Jesus Christ Lord. So he's like, man, I am the least. And I can totally relate to the way he's thinking, because it's like, I can't believe God would choose me, but he did. So you see the balance. He's confident in his call. He's confident in Christ's call on his life because he's confident in God. Right? He knows without him, I'm nothing. I am worthless. But with him, I'm everything he wants me to be. I'm everything that he called me to be. I will make a difference to give him glory. He is with me. Do you understand that? So to me, I see Paul. If Paul can do it, I can do it, right? If the voices in my head tell me I'm this and I'm that, and you know, gosh, there's so many other better pastors and all the other stuff, crazy stuff that rolls through our heads, I can go, maybe so, but he's called me to this, right? He's called you for a specific ministry in your life. Not everybody's going to be up here preaching from the pulpit, but what you will do is you will be the light and the truth to everyone that God puts in your path around you. That is your ministry, to bring glory to God in your life and your surroundings. And it'll be all, just like Paul said, it was all of God. It's God's grace. It's God's power working through you. So it's just about us being obedient, willing to be used by God. And this is where Paul starts, right? He starts talking about the power of God, and he's getting this into his church because he really wants us to grab a hold of this. It's not from our own doing. This is not something that you will muster up. It's the revelation of God and his power working in and through us. Amen? He says, It's his call to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, the mystery that a sinner can be a saint with faith alone in Christ. That word for to make plain is a Greek word called photizo, and it means to enlighten, to illuminate. Paul's call here is to take that mystery that God kept hidden through all the ages up until the church was born, that all who have faith in Christ shall be saved. That it doesn't have to be, okay, because even in the early church, right, they were Jewish. So they were like, well, So yeah, Jesus, we believe in Jesus, but you know, if you got to go from Gentile to Jew to saint, and that's the mystery is no, you don't. You don't have to get circumcised. You can eat bacon. It's not what you eat or you don't eat. It's not the clothes that you wear. It's not all of the ceremonial law that the Jews carry. But now in Christ, when he died on the cross, he tore the veil. Now we can become from sinner to saint by faith in Christ alone, by grace alone, through faith alone in Christ alone. And that is the mystery that was held from all the generations before. So he enlightens and illuminates the church. That's his call. Let's go to verse 10. His intent, God's intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So God's intent is that through the church, the wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. So the main purpose of the church, it's not to win souls, even though that's one of our really important jobs here, is to draw people to Jesus, that there's, you know, it's, but it's God who saves. Amen. Our main goal is to glorify God. It's to glorify God in how we treat each other, how we fellowship together, and how we live outside of our assembly. Our lives should line up with the words that we profess. If we claim to be a follower of Christ, and we're not going to do it perfect, but your life should line up with that statement. And it's God's intent that we manifest his wisdom. Now, wisdom is knowledge applied at the right time for the right reason with the right intent. Right? I think I said that right. But wisdom is knowledge applied. So this is why I will continue to hammer this, that you need to read your Bible. It's not your religious duty. It's not what you have to do. It's so the scriptures that set us free from childhood trauma, from our past and all that garbage we did, from even the stinking thinking that we encounter now. It's the scriptures that enlighten and illuminate us into the truth. So that gives us the illumination of the truth. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do this walk, this Christian walk. I can do it with Christ. But then to have it in my heart, right in my inner being, so that when the time comes, because the rubber's going to meet the road, right? I have it in me. I'm not running to the book to go, oh, can I just find a scripture that will help me out right now? It's in me. I can go, you know what? God, I don't understand what's going on, but you said you turn all things good for those who love you and are called according to your purpose. So I can rest in that. I can walk through this hard time. I can deal with this person that's hard to deal with because I trust you. so I can be brave enough not to have to fight fire with fire, whether that be verbally or physically, but I can trust you that if I return love for evil, you will vindicate me somehow. You will bless me in it. I will grow spiritually, which means I will get stronger, and I trust you. That is manifesting God's wisdom, right? Knowing what his wisdom is, but then manifesting it. We manifest it together. Somebody does you dirty, you act differently than you used to. No, we're not breaking windows anymore, amen? We're trying not to cuss people out anymore, amen? Self-control, that's a superpower. But you can have it. You've got it. You just need to have that enlightenment that it's my inheritance. I'm no longer bound to my sin nature. I'm no longer bound to that guy who gets angry. I'm no longer bound to sin. I am free in Christ to trust you. Now I can have self-control. I can take a moment in any situation and pause because I trust you. I don't have to return evil for evil. I trust you, God. I want to look like you. I want to act like you. I want to manifest your wisdom to bring you glory. Amen? So it says that it should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenlies. Literally, the angelic, the spiritual realm that we cannot see are watching us. And when we, a sinner, right, begin to manifest the wisdom of God, the angels go, glory be to God, holy, 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 look what you did with Chris Jones. Wow, you are there, you are God, and there is no one like you. And the angels worship and praise, right? Same thing about you. When you deny yourself and in obedience move forward and manifest the wisdom of God in your life, the angels cheer and they worship God. It's for greater worship to God. But I'd like to add this, because we're talking about the spiritual realm. There's the demonic. And do you know, when we deny ourselves and we begin to manifest the wisdom of God, we are literally mocking those spirits that used to control us and have us break windows, have us flick the finger at people and cuss them out, lose it in the grocery store. We're literally, now we're little walking Jesuses, right? We're acting like it. We're not, you know, none of us are Christ, but we want to be his disciples. And so we're literally going, not today, Satan. The purpose of the universe, this whole created universe, is to glorify God. It is, and it will be the ultimate reality for all of us. When evil is conquered and destroyed, and when Jesus Christ returns, and we get our glorified bodies, and there's no more sin, no more sickness, no more sadness. That is the reality of our future. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 say this: therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. This, I just wanted to use scripture to interpret scripture, to verify scripture, that there are angels, there's a cloud of witnesses that are surrounded, watching us. So let us throw off the things that hinder us. Throw off that insecurity. Throw off that spirit of rejection. That childhood, you know, trauma that seems to come creep up on us about not feeling worthy enough. Throw it off so that you can run the race that God has pre-planned for you. The sin that so easily entangles us, throw it away. Are you struggling with a certain thing that you know is breaking the heart of God? Seek him. It says fix our eyes on Jesus, not fix our eyes and try not to sin on the sin. Fix our eyes on Jesus. Because when we're Jesus focused, that everything else, that illumination, that enlightenment of there is a better way. I don't have to look at that to feel good anymore. In fact, it doesn't make me feel good anymore. I don't have to say that or do that. I don't have to lash out in anger to make the little boy feel safe anymore, because I trust you, God, with that little boy. You've healed him. You've got me. I can trust you. That blows the minds of the angelic. And we glorify God. So let's go to verse 12. In him, and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. In Christ and through faith in Christ, we may approach God with confidence and freedom. We can go to him as is. You understand that this is the cracking open of the mystery. You don't need a priest. You don't need Pastor Chris to go before the throne for you. Hang on, guys. Let me talk to Jesus. You have the right to confidently go to him with your requests, with your praise, with your repentance. Do you understand that Christ loves us so much that he, that's what he did. He bridged the gap between us and a holy God so that we could live life with him. He already knows it all. He knows what's going on in our hearts. He knows the thoughts. He knows it all. And yet, his grace and his love, he sees us through his son, holy and blameless. Is that not a mind blower? But we have to get a hold of that. Because that's one of the things Paul is like, please get this. Because when you get this, when you are illuminated or enlightened, that God loves me. He's not like, oh, I wish you could do better. He already knows the end from the beginning. His grace, your road has been planned. You know, his grace and his mercy is renewed every day for us. He's always looking at us in love. Amen. It helps because I think that we can beat ourselves up. Now, does that mean that we go on sinning? No. In fact, if we can just live our lives for ourselves and do whatever we want, I would question your salvation in general, if there is no conviction, if you are doing things you know doesn't please God, but there's no conviction, that's when I'd be worried. If you're struggling, you're struggling. Okay? Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Start learning what the truth is in the Bible. That's why I say, you know, look, Mac on Wednesday nights is man, it's a phenomenal Bible study. Thursday nights, Pastor Daniel does a phenomenal Bible study. If you're a lady, Wednesday nights, we've got the women's Bible study. We're starting a discipleship for the women with Pastor Barb. I mean, there's ways that we can go deeper with others. Because it's like when you get to discuss, if you're sitting at home reading the scripture, you may or may not understand something. But if you're hanging out with other people and you hear them talking about it, you're like, oh. Because maybe they present it in a way that's a little bit more understandable. That's why we fellowship. That's why we do Bible studies. Not because this is the way we do church. We go to Bible study and that's what we do. We do it so we grow together. We understand more because we know that the more illumination, the more revelation that I get, the more truth that I'm walking in, the more peace, the more power, because I'm able to deny the flesh more. I'm not perfect, but I get stronger. And that is manifesting the wisdom, that is walking in the Spirit, that is living a life of victory regardless of your circumstances. Doesn't matter how much money you got in the bank. You could be living a powerful life, effective, touching people, growing them, just simply by being you in Christ, walking in the Spirit around them, going through tough times, people watching you go through tough times going, man, and they're still showing up. They're still like on fire for God. Wow. Amen. So Paul says, don't be discouraged by my sufferings for you. I am suffering for you, church, so that I could preach to you so you get it. So don't trip. I'm good. Right? That's basically what I'm paraphrasing, but he's saying, stop tripping. I'm good. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and I'm supposed to be here right now. I'm supposed to be chained to a Roman guard. God, it's in God's plan. He's sovereign. There is a purpose. There is a plan. I am writing epistle after epistle next to this Roman soldier. I'm writing pretty much the New Testament while I'm locked up. There's a purpose and a plan. See, he could be like, oh, woe is me. Somebody put money on my books. Another game of Pinochle. But he's not. He's like, I'm taking advantage of this time. I am not a prisoner of Rome. I am not a prisoner of my own circumstances. If I'm a prisoner to anybody, it's God. It's Jesus. And he's got a purpose. I've got a purpose. Hebrews 10, 19 through 22 says, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened up for us through the curtain, that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart. And with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. That's the way we approach God. That we are forgiven. You don't have to carry. There's a difference between condemnation and conviction. Conviction is meant to cause us to go, Lord, what I've done, what I've said, I've hurt you, and I'm sorry. I repent. You know, illuminate your scriptures to me. Illuminate who I am in you. And I don't want to do that again. That's conviction. Condemnation is walking around just like, I don't get this. I can't. And just being hammered and hammered and hammered. Why do you keep going back, you faker? You might as well just sit home and watch football. Or whatever you watch. Netflix. Why go to church? You can't get this right. That's the lie. That's the condemnation that we have been forgiven. So there should be no more like guilty conscience that plagues you. Because remember, we fix our eyes on Jesus. You fix your eyes on Jesus. You commit to living a life of seeking Him. Seek God first, right? And everything else will be added to you. You seek the kingdom of God first. And all those things are added. God is faithful to forgive and correct His children. It sanctifies us, meaning it's setting us apart to be holy, so we are going to be convicted and we need to repent, and it's a part of life. Repentance and asking for God for forgiveness, or at least receiving that, repenting and receiving, right? Don't ask for forgiveness and go, I hope you forgave me. Repent and say, Lord, you know what I've done. And I'm sorry. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood that paid for my sin. You love me and I love you. That love is what's going to draw you out of that darkness. The revelation of His love for you should not only make you grateful, but draw you away from the darkness into the light. The darkness cannot reside where the light is. That's why we fix our eyes on Jesus. We intentionally position our lives so that I'm in this book enough to silence all those, you know, that bad neighborhood that is called Chris Jones, which is my thought life. I still get crazy thoughts, church, but I've been enlightened to realize that scripture says that I have authority over my thoughts. I can take every thought into the captivity of Jesus, and instead of marinating on it and just getting negative and letting it get deep down inside of me, I just say, I rebuke that in Jesus' name. I capture that thought and I'm discarding it. So what is true? What is right? What is noble? What is good about this situation, about this person? What would you have me meditate on, Father? You have that authority. You have that authority. So now Paul begins to pray, and I'm excited. Good, I have enough time. In verses 14 through 21. So I'm going to read the whole prayer because Paul is the king of long sentences and lots of commas. And I just didn't want to break the whole thing up because it's so beautifully put together. So I'm going to read it first and then we'll break it down. Verse 14. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who was able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. It is a beautiful prayer, right? Powerful prayer. So this is what I want you to do. This week, please. I want you to read this prayer. And first, I want you to put yourself in it. Okay? I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen me with power through his spirit in my inner being. And like, just go through it and pray for yourself. And then I want you to pray for his place. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen the people of his place with power through his spirit in their inner being. And just go through this and pray and see what happens to your spirit. See what happens to you on the inside. Include yourself and then include us in that prayer. And, you know, pray for your family and all that stuff. But I really want you to grab a hold of this for you. Because this is Paul praying for us. So let's break this down. Verses 14 through 16. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being. From whom the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. That word for family, it's patria, and it means every family line, every clan, every people, every nation, in heaven and on earth. This is God saying, or this is Paul saying, there's one God who created everything. One God who created every single family in heaven and on earth. We've all got our names from him. We all have been created by him. And he starts with the power. I pray that out of his glorious riches, the glorious riches are everything found in Christ. His word, forgiveness of sin. Redemption from death, darkness, sin, and self. Resurrection and new life. New heart. Authority over principalities and powers of darkness. You have authority. Authority over your thought life. We talked about that. You have authority over the things that you think about. Supernatural peace, supernatural love, supernatural understanding, perseverance, and holiness. These are his riches. Some of them. This is our inheritance. His glorious riches that we can draw from and manifest on a regular basis. But our minds, right? Our minds need to be renewed. We need this word deep in our hearts. This is why Paul's like, please get this. Please get this. Please get this. That his, through, we may be strengthened with power through the Spirit in our inner being. Strengthened with power where it matters. Where it matters. Come hell or high water, baby, you're strong in the Lord. come sickness, come death, you're strong in the Lord. You have an eternal perspective on death, in fact. We no longer have to be afraid to die. But we look forward to the day we are in glory. Do I want to live a good life? Of course I do. Do I want to die today? No, I mean, if I did, I'm cool with it. You know, I want to see Gibson get married and all that stuff, but I'm not afraid. When God calls my name, I'm ready, Lord. Bring me home. And may everybody that's left here have a big party because I'm good, right? That's what we get. That's the riches that we draw from that should strengthen us with power. Because now we're not afraid. We don't have to be afraid of other people. We have power to love. We have power to communicate truth in love. So we're having boundaries, but we're not starting any fires or fights. These are the riches. Well, why is Paul praying that for his church? Verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So that, he's like, I want you to have this. So Christ isn't just your Lord on Sundays, but he dwells in your heart every day. All the time, you're ministering to each other together. I love you, Lord. I bless you. I thank you. You're faithful even when I'm not. God, you are so faithful. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you because your presence, when I feel you, the enlightenment and the illumination that you are with me, in me, and I can feel you, your presence is my provision. I'm not even going to ask you to split the sea, God. Just let me feel you in this. You got a plan. You'll see this thing through, God, so I can have peace. And I received that peace, Jesus, because you said I could. I will keep my peace. That's strength. Amen? I mean, that's like a superpower, right? It's his riches, yeah. It's the riches of Christ. And then he goes on to say in verse 17, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love. That word for established, here we go. Themelio. Is foundation, steadfast, a rock that you being rooted and just rocked in love. You're solid. He is saying, and you being, not that I hope you become this, but that you, because you're Christ, because you belong to Christ, you are rooted and established on the rock of love. You can build upon this. You're solidly in the love of God. And so he says, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love. Well, let's look at that word, love. In 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. When I read this list, And when you go home and read this, right? Where do you fail on this list? How about where you're strong on the list? Because here's what I want you to do is look at this list of love. I want you to celebrate where you're strong. Wow, you know what? I'm not self-seeking. I'm no longer easily angered. Praise you, God, because for a long time I was easily angered. You know, I don't keep a list on people anymore. I may be working on that now. Hey, I don't have this wired, right? I never said I did. I'm in process. But hallelujah, he's faithful to finish the work that he started in us. We take the things that we are weak at and you know what, Lord, I repent. I will focus on these areas of my life. When opportunity comes up and somebody does me dirty, one, I won't be self-seeking in it. I won't be easily angered. I will use the self-control that you, Holy Spirit, give me the power to execute. I will pause. I will take a moment. And then I won't keep a list on them in my drawer. In my little Rolodex of lists. I won't do it anymore. I'll forgive. Why? Because you forgive me. And I know through your word that forgiveness is for me. Doesn't excuse the other person. It's me letting go of the judgment because you're the judge and you know their story and you know my story. So I forgive out of obedience. Please help my feelings line up with my obedience, right? Because that'll come after. Obedience will come before your feelings, way before your feelings of, I really forgive them. That might take a while. That might take a decade. But you do it out of obedience. I forgive, God. You told me to. I release them to you. So let me read all of 17 through 19. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. He's saying, by being grounded and rooted in love, may we have power together, unified as a church that walks in love, that is being obedient to the word. This is how we treat each other. This is how we treat those outside of our assembly. And to know, to grasp. How wide? Wide enough to save any sinner, right? All who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Long enough? Wow. The eternal love, everlasting to everlasting. God's love is eternal. High, to take us from the natural to live in the supernatural. God's love brings us above our circumstances. To the revelation of love and the riches of God's glory brings us higher, this love, and deep enough to save the most filthiest of all sinners. Amen. Deep enough to grab us out of the miry clay, set us on the rock, and cleanse us. And heal us. Hallelujah. To grasp this. And how do we know? He says, and to know. I want them, God, to know this love that surpasses knowledge. It surpasses the intellect of the human mind. I want them to know this love. You know how we get to know? Experience. By walking it out with the Lord. You gotta go through the fire, baby, to find out He's good. You gotta go through the fire of life. You gotta walk through trials and tribulations with Christ to come out the other side going, God is good. God never left me. He never forsook me. He stood with me and He comforted me in my time of need. He ministered to me in my time of need. And I even was effective going through one of the hardest times of my life because of my obedience, because of my faith in the truth and the love of God. I actually was able to minister to others while going through my stuff. Do you see? It's not just for Paul. It's not just for the apostles. It's not. It's for us. That's what I mean, is now we can lean in. Oh, I'm going through a season. Here we go, man. This is, and you don't have to fake it. God, I don't like this. It doesn't feel good. I'm confused. I have all these feelings, but I trust you. There's your inheritance. Grasping on and knowing you love me. God, you love me. I don't like the circumstance, but you love me. I will, so we'll go into the fire together, God, because I know you're with me. You love me. I know you love me. But God, this is my request. When we come out the other side of this fire, when we come out of the valley, however long that may be, I pray that I know you more. I pray that I know your love for me more. I pray that this would not be in vain, but this is actually going to bring me closer to you. That when I come out the other side, I'll actually look more like you, Jesus. I'll talk more like you, Jesus. My faith will be larger, Jesus. And I'll believe more in you than I did before I stepped in this fire. There's value in the fire. There's value in the valley. That's where we grow. We don't grow on the mountaintops. Amen. We grow in the valley. It's the experience. So by sharing and receiving the love of Christ through our testimonies, through sharing our trials and tribulations with each other and our victories, we all get to know this love deeper and deeper and deeper. And I'll wrap it up with this. Verses 20 through 21. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I love this. To Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine. Do you know that whatever you're imagining that God has for you, what God can do in your life, in and through you, He can do immeasurably more. And so I don't ever want to limit, just like we were singing, something to the effect of like, I wish I could remember the lyrics right now, but, like, who am I to deny what the Lord can do? There, I remembered it. Yes! Sometimes I'm searching in there and it's like, hello, hello, hello. Who am I to deny what you can do, God, in my life? Do you know if you would have asked me even 15 years ago, 10 years ago, or if you would have said, hey, you're going to be a pastor, I would have laughed in your face. Oh my God, no way. He's done immeasurably more than all I could ask with my life. My wife was here in first service. The fact that we've been married 23 years and we are not divorced is God doing immeasurably more than all my wife and I could ever ask. Hallelujah. Dysfunction, there was a poster with me and my wife. Dysfunctional relationships. But we stood fast. We sought God. We allowed him to change us. I'm just saying for myself, he's done so much more than I ever thought or dreamed. So don't sell yourself short either. God's got something for you. I used a couple of examples in my life. He's got something for you in your life. And it's more than you can imagine. So have faith in God that he will move in your life. He truly will take you from glory to glory and faith to faith. Just keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Amen? All right. Hallelujah. So I don't want to end this message without giving everybody an opportunity. I don't know where you're at in the Lord. But Christ truly died in your place, took the punishment for sin, and he raised from the dead. And this treasure chest of Ephesians is ours to have, but first we surrender our lives to him. Surrender our lives. You can have my life. I trade my life for yours, Jesus. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Change me. So I want to give, I don't know where everybody's at, but maybe you've never given your life to Jesus. Today's the day. Surrender today. Or maybe you have before and you've backslidden and you want to rededicate your heart. I want to give you that opportunity to do that today. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you've never given your life to Jesus, or you've backslidden and want to rededicate your heart, just raise your hand and I'll pray with you. We'll pray. Amen. See your hands. I see your hands. Amen. So church, help us out as we pray. Pray this prayer with me. Father God in heaven, thank you for your son, Jesus. I'm a sinner and I need a savior. So I ask you, come into my heart, come into my life and change me. I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit and make your word come alive. I thank you for your forgiveness. I turn from my sin and I turn to you. Today, I am yours and you are mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, church. Hallelujah. Father God, shine your face upon your people. Lord, remind us how much you love us this week. And may we pour out your love. May we manifest your wisdom through our actions and our speech, through our relationships. And may we keep our eyes fixed on you until we meet again in the assembly. Bless your people, God. In Jesus' name, amen. See you next week.